and hearts are mended. We're in the presence of our King. Hallelujah. Amen. What a wonderful privilege to be in the presence of our King and knows all things. Amen. Let's just sing that song, I Am Blessed, in the key of F. Turn to your neighbor, invite them, just welcome them in the house of the Lord. Shake each other's hand as we sing this. We're also going to ask Brother Donnie to get ready for our responsive reading this morning. Oh, I am blessed. You blessed this morning? Oh, I am blessed.
Beautiful day it is to come and be in the house of the Lord. I'm filling in for Brother Collie again, and I'll remember him and lift him up, and Sister Mary and all the other ones that's been asked for this morning. We're going to do Psalms 9 this morning. I think it's 1 through 20 or something like that. Anyway, before we go to the Word, let's go to the author and thank him. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us to come and gather around your word. Thank you so much, Father, for this day of enlightenment that you brought us to with your word coming to us by revelation. No other time on the face of the earth has it come like this. And Father, we are a blessed people, heirs and joint heirs. God, we didn't pick this. You picked us. Because you knew we would accept your word. Thank you so much, Father God, for this day that you've given us, Lord. And Father, I have to say I'm sorry for all the nooks and crannies and places I hid. That you come and got me and brought me here anyway. Such a blessed person, Father. Father God, your word says you'll heal our bodies. And you have, Lord. Let us walk into it now and see the truth in your word, Lord. Bless all the ones that are not here today. Father, we know you will because they're not here for a reason, Lord. I don't know why, but Father, you just lift them up and strengthen them, Lord God. And be with Brother Wade and Brother Boyd and Brother Luis as they're dedicating that church to that young group of Christians up there. Lord, just be with them and bless them and bring them back safely, Lord. They belong here. With this little group, and I ask you just to be with them, Lord, and be with Brother Bob today, as he's going to labor today to bring us your word, and you just be with him and take him into your rest, Father God. And as we read your word, Father, you come on the scene and open our hearts, anoint our ears that we can hear your word, and reveal it to us, Lord, because that's the only way we can get it, and make this a new creature, Lord. We ask these things in your name and bless this church. We ask it in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Give me. Psalms 9. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all my marvelous works. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence.
For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sittest in the throne judging right.
Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment.
And he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness.
The Lord also will be a refuge for those oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Sing praises to the Lord which showeth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings.
When he made an inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the hunger.
Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made, in the net they hid, in their own foot taken.
The Lord is known by the judgment which he executed. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands.
The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forgot God.
For the deeds shall not always be forgotten.
Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them under the Lord, that nations have known themselves to be put. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for the opening of the word.
What a word of promise. I like that scripture. We read that those who know the name of the Lord put their trust in him and he will not forsake him. Amen. Brother Thomas, would you come up and take up this morning's offering?
That's great. Dear Lord, thank you for having us here today.
Yes.
Lord, please bless the tithes and offerings and all the church purpose and for the word of Brother Dale and all the deacons and ministers. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Let's sing that song, Here I Am to Worship. You come and to worship the Lord this morning. I tell you to come and worship him in spirit and in truth. We live in such a society now where people say it's my way, my truth, and my life, my feelings. But we know another way. You have to die out to your own way to get into his way, his truth, and his life. Amen.
To adore you, hope of a life.
You are drawing a line in the sand, and I want to be standing holding your hand. So let your kingdom come, oh, let it live in me. This is my prayer. Oh, is it your prayer this morning? Oh, this is my plea. Let the worshipers arise. Sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Oh, sing it to him once more. Oh, let the worshiper arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing.
Sing that last verse.
earth. And Father, I see the bride rejoicing in the song of victory. Every chain of death is broken, and we have been set free. Satan, he has been defeated. Oh yes, Father. Hallelujah to our Lord. Pleasing to our King, let the worshiper arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I'm surrendering to the King. Let's sing that last verse once more. Father, I see the bride rejoicing in the song of victory. Every chain of death is broken, and we, oh, that's the devil's answer. Satan, he has been defeated. Oh, let our worship be praise to our Lord. Oh, just lift your hands and worship him. Oh, surrender your all. Sons and the daughters sing, Jesus, Lord. Oh, I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Let the worshipers arise.
Sing it to them now.
Oh, let the worshiper arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing.
I believe we've got Satan's answer this morning. Let's just go straight into the Word and just ask the Lord to bless the reading of the Word. Oh God, we're so grateful to be able to gather together, Lord. Lord, as we look into your Word with confidence of what we believe and what we're standing here for, Lord Jesus. And we just pray, Lord, that this morning's gathering will not be in vain, Lord God, because, Lord, we know, Lord, that we're not just gathering together to look at one another, Lord, but we're here, Lord, to receive something from you, to know you more, Lord Jesus, in the power of your resurrection. And we thank you, God, for all that you've given unto us, Lord Jesus, and for your presence, Lord, that's already moving through the building. Lord, there's many needs this morning, Lord Jesus, and we know, Lord, that you're here to meet every need. No matter what it is, Lord, whether it's healing or salvation or a refilling, Lord Jesus. And I pray, God, that you feel at liberty this morning to move through the place and to quicken every heart that's in need, Lord Jesus. We ask your blessing upon the reading of the Word. So Psalm chapter 103 says, this is a scripture that, you know, we preach a lot about when we're preaching, but I'm just going to take this as my main text this morning and sure enjoyed that Sunday school lesson and all of the singing. And we certainly welcome our visiting brother here. I'll say like Brother Dale always says, you come the first time and we welcome him. You come the second time, you're just part of us because we don't have nothing to join or nothing to sign our name on or shake hands with or anything like that. We're just born into the body. So Psalms chapter 103 says, a psalm of David, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget not all his benefits. We've got a lot of benefits that we can take advantage of. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Who healeth all thy diseases. The Lord add his blessing to the word this morning. You may be seated. So I want to just, I'm taking both services today, I just want to speak on today, this morning, this afternoon about how that I believe that we've got Satan's answer. And you know, in this hour, there's you come into church this morning, and as the songs are sung, you can definitely feel the presence of something beyond yourself. And you know, just because you can feel something, there's something that's real. There's something that Brother Bram said it gives an unction to the preacher that moves through the building, that can give power to a Christian to live a life that you couldn't live before you were saved. And there's something that's real. So we know that the presence of, you know, you should know just by coming into church this morning that there's a real God. But you know, there's also a devil, and we believe that there's a real devil, and the devil moves through situations, and he's trying to take control of your life and trying to change the direction of your life. He'll try to change the direction of your family or your an individual or the church even, and try to get people's minds going in a different direction. But yet we've got, and you can't there's no way to defeat Satan of your own abilities. There's no way to defeat Satan of your own with your own doings or your own works or anything. But there's one way that we can defeat Satan, and that's through God's word. And I believe that we've got Satan's answer. I believe that we've got an answer to no matter what the devil throws at you, whether he throws sickness at you, whether he throws a mind battle at you, a torment of your spirit, whatever it is, that we've got his answer. And as we read here in Psalms chapter 103, it says, what a great comfort and a blessing it is to look into God's word and see the privilege that he's given unto us, that when we go through rough times and we go through rough spots in our life, that we can look and gain confidence in his word, that to remember that to remember the benefits that God has given to us. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Now, I want you to notice there that it was an all. It's not saying sometimes part of the way or anything. It's an all-inclusive package. And that means if you've committed any sins or if you've committed any iniquities, then you're at the right place to have all your iniquities wiped away, to have all your sin wiped away, to have the slate completely cleared. And that goes the same way for healing. If you've got a problem in your body, a problem in your spirit, or whatever it is, if you need healing in your soul, this is the right place to come. If you need healing in your body, this is the right place to come. And I want to say, you know, in the religious world of today, there's a lot of people that have gotten away from believing that God still heals. I believe that the Bible says that he's Hebrews 13:8. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he healed somebody in the Old Testament, he's the same today. If he healed somebody when the apostles were preaching, he's the same today as he was back then. Because you can't get away from Hebrews 13:8, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we look, many people will say, well, God doesn't heal any people anymore. He doesn't do miracles anymore. But yet I believe because of that scripture and because of so many other testimonies through scripture and so many testimonies of Christians' lives down through the ages, that he's still a miracle working God. He's still able to heal. Now we believe that God sent a prophet in this last day, just like he sent Irenaeus and Columba and Martin Luther and John Wesley to the believers in those ages. And now we believe that in this last stage that God sent a man named William Branham to open up the things that a lot of people had probed at before, like for example, that does God still do miracles? And so a lot of things I'm going to be quoting this morning come from some of the things he says, like this, that I will quote for you now. No matter what you've done wrong, God is here to forgive. No matter what Satan throws your way, we've got the answer. And so now Satan, what that means is Satan does not have any legal rights this morning at all. He don't have any legal. Why does he not have any legal rights? Because Jesus Christ on the cross died to take away everything that the devil had done. Christ defeated him in our stead there at Calvary. And when he died, he spoiled principalities and robbed Satan of every power that he had. Now this morning, I think that should build up our faith and build up our confidence that if you've got a problem in your life, Jesus Christ already paid. He already paid the price for that on the cross. And he robbed Satan there on the cross of every power that he could have over your life. Which is why in Colossians chapter 2 verse 15, it says, having having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly. He made a show there on the cross. He made a show openly on the day of Pentecost as they began to preach in the street, proclaiming what Christ had done. He made a show openly when they told that the lame man next to the gate, beautiful, right, look on us, and we don't have any silver and gold, but if you rise up and walk, if you'll just believe, rise up and walk. And he made a show openly that everything that the devil had been yanked away from him. Made a show of them openly triumphing over them in it. Now see, the church now has been commissioned. We've got that commission that when the devil has control over somebody, when the devil's tormenting somebody, the church has been given this commission to liberate somebody by the preaching of the gospel, by laying on hands to deliver somebody from these torments. The church has been commissioned to cast out devils. In Mark chapter 16, we read, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. So you see, we've got a commission. We've got a commission to fulfill that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We've been commissioned to cast out devils. And you know, this gospel that I'm preaching this morning is not, sometimes we get in our mind that this is just a gospel for old people or a gospel for grandpa or something for old folks, something for the people in the old folks' home. But this gospel is something for everybody. You know, Daniel was a young man and Josiah was a young man and all you've got, David was a young man, and this gospel is for the old and for the young and for the infirm and for the weak and for the strong, and it's for everybody. And doesn't matter who you are or what your situation in life is this morning, whatever you are, whether you're old or weak, you can be loosed from the situation that you're in this morning. What are you doing, Brother Bob? I'm preaching the gospel this morning. The gospel was sent to loose those where they were bound. The gospel that was sent to set you free from whatever torment the devil has in your life this morning. Because the gospel says in Matthew chapter 18, it says, verily I say unto you. Now these are the words of Jesus Christ to us. The words of Christ to us that we're supposed to be fulfilling now. He said, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you, now think about what a great thing is. If two Holy Ghost filled believers in the church get together and they start thinking the same way and they start becoming in agreement that, you know, we don't have to take what the devil has put on us anymore. We don't have to sit there and just accept the torment in our spirit. We don't have to accept this broken body that I'm living in. I don't have to accept it. And you begin to lay hands upon one another and get into a spirit of agreement like they were in the upper room in one accord that something is going to happen. He said, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. I believe this morning we can have come with confidence, with that kind of confidence that it's going to be done if you come believing what God has already said. And these are not my words, and these are not the words of any man, but these are the words of Christ that he spoke to the church, that you don't have to settle to be tormented by the devil. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And I think we've seen the evidence of that scripture this morning, that as we've gathered and as we've sung the songs of praise and worship, that Christ is gathered together in our midst. He's here and he's moving. The angels of God are kept around them that fear him, and we have a proof that God is with us. Now what is the devil? What is the devil? We know that God is here, and we know that the Lord is here to fight our battles, and we know that we have an answer for Satan. So what is Satan? You know, when you begin to understand what the devil is and what he's doing, then you begin to lose your fear of him. You begin to realize that he's nothing but a bluff. Like Brother Ryan was said, as the picture becomes more clear this morning, as he was speaking on, the picture begins to unfold of what we're doing here and what our purpose is. And you begin to understand by revelation, because you begin to, revelation is what gives you the ability to go up against the devil. He said, a demon. Now listen, a demon, devil, all comes from one word. And in the English, it's called tormentor. Tormentor. That's what a devil is. And you think about it, maybe this morning you're tormented in your mind. Maybe you're wondering, can I be forgiven? Can I be saved? Maybe you're wondering, maybe you're born again and you're in your spirit. The devil's been putting all kinds of lies and things about whether maybe you're backslidden and you're going back. You've forgotten what your purpose is in life, and you're turning off the way, and you begin to wonder, is there any hope for me? Have I gone too far? And that's what the devil's job is. The devil is, his job is to torment you and plague your mind and plague your thoughts and make you think somebody's talking about you behind your back, or make you think somebody doesn't like you, and it's constantly a torment. But yet there is a relief from that. That's what the Holy Ghost was given to, come into the church to relieve you from the torment. That's to come into the church and give you a rest. That's what that rest is that Jesus talked about. I will give you a rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you a rest. A rest that the world can't give. The alcohol and the drugs and all that can't give you a rest. But he'll give you a rest that only he can give. And that demon will come in. If you're not born again, he can come into your soul and torment your soul. A tormentor is a torment, even in the natural, is a person who inflicts severe mental or physical suffering on somebody. I was thinking about, if you read in history about Fox's Book of Martyrs, how they would torment, the Catholic Church would torment people that believed different with them, and they would put them on a rack and stretch them. And I began to read all these stories about how one man, he was out on a rack and he was being, his, they had him on that rack where he was being stretched, and he looked, and all of a sudden next to him appeared an angel, and it began to wipe his brow as he was being stretched on that rack, because he was being tormented. There was a physical person there that was put him on that rack, and they had all these devices. You think about what could make a man torment somebody else? What could make somebody want to torment their brother, their natural brother? Only the devil, because that's the devil is the tormentor. A devil is something that will make somebody feel miserable. And Brother Adam said, many times you see a person maybe of insanity, they may, maybe even a converted person, filled with the Holy Spirit, and yet be totally insane. He said, that's got nothing to do with the soul. It's a tormentor. See, something that torments them. What a strange thing that you could be born again, but tormented in your spirit and plagued by something that's tormented in your body, tormented because that's what the devil does. Torment of the spirit. What is that? Does God love me? You begin to think that maybe God don't love you anymore. That's why you got to come to church, because church is where you get proved that God still loves you, because he'll speak to you. He'll speak to words of life from behind the pulpit, something that you have need of, and it'll go out and begin to speak words of comfort and ones of joy and peace, and you'll know that God still cares. You begin to wonder, God, does God still care about me? Does anybody ever care? Is there any hope? And you begin to maybe get into a place of maybe where you're wondering, should I kill myself? Is all hope lost? The devil is a tormentor. Brother Branham said he's here to tear up your body, to eat you up, to destroy you, shorten your 70 if you can. But you know, I believe this morning that we've got an answer for all that torment. We've got an answer, and that answer is Jesus Christ. That answer is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That answer is his word. You know, the Bible even says that we're supposed to be ready to give an answer. It's 1 Peter 3:15. It says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer. To give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And what is the reason of the hope? What is the answer? The answer that we can give when somebody asks us, why do you dress that way? Because I believe Jesus Christ. Because I've been transformed from the old way that I was, living for the world, into a new creation. Why do you talk the way that you do? Why do you talk with comfort and joy? Why do you talk with faith, believing that no matter what the devil throws at me, yet there's something real that I believe. No matter what sickness I have in my life, yet I know that God is still a healer. Brother Branham said, we as human beings have no power against the devil. So we don't come to meet him in the name of a church or an organization, but Satan is defeated. He is defeated, and we come to meet him in the name of our conqueror, Jesus Christ. We come to meet him in that name. Now think about the devil could torment us. The devil could torment a believer. The devil will come and torment, but he can't make one move. He can't make one move unless he's permitted to do so. You think about Job, when Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Does he fear God for naught? Hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. God, the devil could not do one thing to Job unless God allowed it. He couldn't do one thing to him. When Jesus was standing there in front of Pilate, he said, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." Pilate could not do one thing to Jesus unless it was allowed. And you see, God, sometimes he will pull back the protection. Let's understand this morning. I believe this will give us confidence that we're living life for a purpose. There's a reason sometimes why things happen to us. There's a reason sometimes why God allows us to get sick, because there's a purpose in our life. And sometimes God will roll back that hedge of protection. Why did he roll it back in Job's case? To prove to the devil that somebody was going to stand for God. Sometimes, you know, that's what, even sometimes that might be what is happening in your life. If you'll go through a little rough spot, maybe think about this. Maybe God is standing back, boasting to the devil, I don't care what you do, that person is not going to believe. And you know, in this day, God is going to have a bride that will not do like Eve, but she will stand for the word no matter what. It doesn't matter what comes her way. She's going to not be one word off. So there is a purpose to what God allows. God knows if you are sick. God knows if you're needy. He knows. He is not oblivious. We have a high priest that is touched by the feelings of our infirmities, and he knows even before you ask it. Maybe he just wants to prove to the devil that you're going to believe God anyhow. Or maybe he's trying to get you to a place of repentance, a place where you begin to realize that you need God. He's trying to get you to a place where you begin to understand what your need is. Maybe he's getting you, allowing the devil to maybe get you to a place of mental anguish, to drive you to your knees, to begin to get in your back closet and begin to call out to God, get down beside your bed at night and begin to pray to God and say, "You know what? I'm tired of the way that I've been living. I'm tired of the way that I've been walking." Maybe you begin to get weak so that you can be conscious of your frailty. Maybe you begin to get sick so that you're reminded that your days on earth are few. You know, sometimes you get a flu and you begin to be more conscious of, you know, one of these days, if something don't happen, I'm going to go down in the grave. You begin to get real sick and you begin to get conscious that everything something's different. And it begins to give you a consciousness that you need something. You need God. But see, everything is working toward a purpose. And Romans chapter 8, it says, "And we know that all things work together." We know all things work together. Everything, can you say that this morning, that you know that everything that happens to you works for a purpose? We know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, you can't say that now unless you're really confident that you love God, that he's called you, that he foreknew you. You know, people out there in the honky tonk can't say that. You know, the people out there living for the world, they can't say that. "Well, I know everything's working to the good for those who are called according to his purpose." But a Christian can say that. But and what is your purpose? Your purpose. Now, the purpose is in Romans chapter 8, it says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." So we have a purpose this morning, and your purpose is to be conformed to the image of his son. To be conformed, that means to be molded and to be changed until you're just like Jesus. Until you can walk like Jesus and talk like Jesus, until the devil can come to you like he did Jesus as he went into the wilderness and throw all those different temptations in front of him. Why don't you make bread? Why don't you go up high on a building? Why don't you make something big of yourself? Why don't you go after popularity? Why don't you go after money? And you can come to a place where you're so conformed to the image. That's what the Bible says. Conformed to the image of his son until the devil can't do
nothing with you. So what is your purpose in life? That's why things happen to you. That's why you get sick sometimes. It's to bring to, because there's a purpose being fulfilled in your life. There's a purpose. You have a purpose, and your purpose is not to have a lot of money and not have to work. Your purpose is not to be able to play video games all day. Your purpose is not to be respected in the community. Those things are good sometimes, to be respectful. Your purpose is not to retire early, although that would be wonderful. That would be wonderful to be able to retire early and sit home in my easy chair. And your purpose is not to be successful on your own terms. Your purpose is to be conformed to the image of His Son. To be conformed, you know what that means. Despite all the hardships, I believe that would change. That should change our mindset to where we're almost more willing to go through suffering and hard times to be conformed to the image of His Son, because that's what His purpose is in our life: to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, to be conformed into the image where you've got these virtues, that you've got the virtue of life, the actual life of Christ living in you, the knowledge where you know that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whether you've got the same kind of temperance, where God is in control of your life, where you've got patience to deal with one another and patience to wait on God, where you can wait like Abraham did. If it takes 25 years, you can wait because you know He's Hebrews 13:8. And you've got godliness to act like God, even knowing that if you've got to endure trials and tribulations, yet God is working a purpose in your life. And that makes you like God, and brotherly kindness to give grace to one another and not hold things over one another's head, because that's what your purpose is. Maybe this morning I pray that would give liberty to some of us to know that whatever things you're going through in life, that you got a purpose. And if you love God and God loves you, everything in life is working toward that purpose. If you love God and God loves you, if you're walking in His Word, everything is working toward that purpose. But now God is not the author of sickness. What are you I'm preaching on sickness this morning. So sometimes we forget that God is a healer. God is still a healer. God didn't author sickness, though. Sickness came from the devil. We're talking about how that sometimes God will back off and let things happen to you, happen in your life. But God is not the one that authored that sickness. He'll back off and let things happen to you to bring you to a place of repentance, to bring you to a place where you realize that you need something from God. But God is not the author of that sickness. You say, well, how could, this is what some of the atheists and say, how could a good God stand by and watch somebody pull out a gun in school and shoot somebody? How could a good God stand by and let somebody get sick? How could a good God let stand by and let the Holocaust happen? How could a good God let that happen? Well, let's take the school shooting. How could a good God stand by and let somebody pull a gun out in school and shoot up a lot of youth? Because God will not override your free moral agency. Do you realize? Let's think about that now. You cannot properly express love unless you have free will. You cannot express, how could God stand by and let Adam and Eve make the wrong choice and kill the whole earth, get everything out of kilter? How could He stand by and do that? Because He wants you to make a choice. And if you don't have the right to make a choice, then love cannot be expressed. Hey, well, think about your wife. If you forced your wife or your spouse to marry you, love could not be expressed, because you cannot express love if you're forcing somebody. Even this morning, you know, as I look out on the Christian world and on situations that I know about, I wish that I could force somebody to walk different or do different, but I can't force. And no, because love cannot be expressed if you force. You've got to have the ability to respond. That man maybe that would pull a gun out in a school and begin to shoot things up, it's his choice. And you see how God allows us to choose. He wants you to choose life. And this morning you've got the ability to either choose life or death. You've got the ability to choose. And it's not because a minister forced you to raise your hand or forced you to come to the altar or forced you to open up your heart and give your life to God. But it's because you did it, because you responded to God. When you felt that little pulsating in your hearts, that God drawing you, because the Bible says that no man can come to me except the Father draw him. And when the Father begins to draw you and move you because you heard the word, it's you responding. It's not because somebody grabbed you by the nape of the neck and dragged you up to the altar, but you responded. Love cannot be expressed without free will. You remember Brother Brown telling that story about his son was out in the world playing cards and drinking alcohol and doing things he shouldn't, Billy Paul. And then he began to come back in church, and he was sitting there on the pew, and people began to come to the altar, and the spirit was moving through the church, and Billy Paul didn't respond. Maybe he was thinking, maybe I should go up there. And an old deacon in the church came up and tapped him on the shoulder and said, shouldn't you go up there? And Brother Branham later admonished that deacon. Why did he admonish the deacon? Because you can't force. It's got to be your choice. You can't grab somebody. And you think sometimes about how we raise our children. You can't force your kids. You can't force your kids to love going to church. We've got to back off and let them make their own choice. You remember that story Brother Ram told about how that Moses' parents, that they came to a place where they knew that they, if they held on to Moses, that he was going to die. But they came to a place where they knew they had to turn him over to God and put him in the bulrush and just watch him sail away through all the hippos and all the animals, all the anacondas, whatever wild beasts were out there. And they knew that God was going to protect him. You know, sometimes we've got to do that. We got to take a step back and let our kids go to the youth camp so that we're out of the way. Let's take a step back and let God begin to do something. And I believe God is still able to do something. I believe God is able to do more and abundantly anything we could do by our own force and by our own abilities. It's God. When God's hand is in it, God is going to make it all work out right. And what a blessing it is when it's your choice and not somebody else's. When you're the one that said, I want God, and not because somebody else said you got to do it. And you raise your hand, not because somebody said you need to raise your hand. Or you say amen, not because somebody said you need to say amen, but because something on the inside compels you. I believe that. And I want myself to be identified with that. You know, I was reading a sermon the other day where Brother Brown was telling the people in his congregation, he was testifying about something that had happened, and he said, now I want you to say amen. Say amen. And they said amen. And he said, the reason I wanted you to say amen was because when people listen to this sermon, your voice is going to be a testimony that the things that I said were true. And every time you listen to that tape, it echoes back. So you see, when you say amen, it's a testimony that the things that are being said are correct, that they're accurate, that the thing that you agree with what's being said. And even as people are listening in online, they hear your voice saying amen because you believe that. And you're actually part of the service. You're part of the experience because you're responding that you agree with what's being preached. What a blessing that God doesn't want puppets in the church. He wants you to choose. He wants you to be able to respond. He don't want you to just be tied by puppet strings so that he can just manipulate you or something. It's got to be by your own free will. You know, even looking through this church, we've got technicians and musicians and janitors and cooks and helps, and they're all motivated, not because somebody said, you got to be a musician or you got to be a technician, but something motivated them that they wanted to do that, and they chose to do that. They volunteered to do it. I want to be this part. Why? It's impossible to love without the ability to choose. And the people even in this church are doing things because they love God. Not because they're forced, but because they love God. And that's what powers a Christian life, is love. Something changed in your heart and you love God. That's the way you dress. The reason you dress different. That's the reason you don't drink alcohol and things like the world, because you love God. Something in your heart has been changed. God is a gentleman. He'll never force you. He won't force you. But you know, we got a purpose in our life that we're supposed to be fulfilling. And that purpose is to be conformed to the image of God. And sometimes we get a little out of line and we forget what our purpose is. We get spiritual amnesia. We forget what we're doing here. And sometimes God has to pull that hedge of protection back so that we get a little reminder. We need God. Sickness can be a tool that God allows you to bring you to a place of decision. What? To further his purpose. Now, I'm echoing the things that Brother Branham said. If you want to go back and do some more study, and I'm preaching from the sermons, demonology, physical realm, and spiritual realm. This morning is demonology, physical realm. So God sometimes permits Satan, these are Brother Ram's words, God sometimes permits Satan to put sickness on you as a whip to bring you back to the house of God when you disobey him. You think about that time again when Billy Paul was laying there in the hospital bed, and he began to cry out for his daddy, and his daddy said, You did the sin and you do the praying. Because that was a tool that God was using. A tool that God was using to bring him back to a place where he knew he needed God. God permits trouble. Why? So we'll get help. You know, even in your natural life, when you get in trouble, what's your first response? I need some help. When you get stranded on the side of the road with a flat tire, I got to get some help. I got to call somebody. I need some help. If you're drowning, who are you going to call? You're going to look for a lifeguard. Are you going to call for your relative or something? You're not just going to keep drowning. If your back hurts, you're going to go look for maybe a chiropractor or somebody that can help. If your appendix ruptures, it's time to call the ambulance. Go to the emergency room. You need some help. If you're thirsty, what are you going to do? You're going to run to the kitchen and get you a glass of water. You're not just going to sit up there in your room and say, well, I'm thirsty. I guess this is just the way it is. But you're going to run for that glass of water. If you're hungry, what are you going to do? You're going to go run down to the kitchen and get you, or the corner grocery store or the gas station, and get you a little snack. You're not just going to sit there and stew in your condition, but you're going to go run to get to something to satisfy that need. If you're needy, you got to run to where you can get some help. So if you're needy this morning, don't sit there in your condition, but run to the one who can meet every need. And the Bible says in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. In Matthew 6:8, it says, your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. In Psalm 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. So we've got somebody that will satisfy every need, that knows what your need is this morning, and that's got a purpose in your life, so that everything in your life works according to that purpose, so that that purpose can be fulfilled. God knows what you need this morning. In Matthew 6:8, it says, your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. In Matthew 6:25, it says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And in Jeremiah 29, it says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. So why do we get sick sometimes? God wants your heart. Why do we go through trouble sometimes? God wants your heart. So if you're sick and needy this morning, if you're tormented by something in your spirit where you know that something's wrong in your life and you need something, step one is make sure you're right with God. Make sure you're right. Your purpose is to be conformed to the image of his son. So if you're out of step, first step is get along with God and say, God, I'm sorry for all the things I've done. Go around to all the people that you've wronged and make things right with them, and make sure there's no stone unturned. If you stole from somebody, if you took money from somebody, if you've done something wrong with them, go around to every one of them and say, I'm sorry. Even if you think that there's nothing that you did, if there's anything in your mind that's preventing you from having peace, it's time to go make everything right so that you're conformed to the image of his son. Because if there's some kind of tormenting spirit on your tormenting devil that's messing around with your spirit, that's giving you grief in your body, the devil won't move until you make everything right. Now, Brother Ram said, in the deep calleth to the deep, he said, if there's unconfessed sin or something, or some out of the will of God, you could anoint them all night long and cry and scream and do all you wish to. That demon will stay right there. You see how many times some people sometimes will come up to the altar and get the minister to pray for us and cry over us, and there's a great big commotion made, and yet that the devil will stay right there, tormenting all night long, because there's something still left undone in your life. He said, that's right. He has a right to. Well, that's what you have to watch. God has put a curse on somebody for something. Then you come along and take it off. You get in trouble like Moses did. That's right. He's here, the Holy Spirit. Now, and Brother Bram said, see, if there's unconfessed sin or something, the devil's got a right to stay right there until you get your heart right with God. Because God wants your heart. He wants your heart. He wants you to give your heart to him. Are we willing to make things right? Will you give your heart to the Lord? Will you make all wrongs right? Will you apologize to anybody that's necessary? Will you lay aside all your pride and stubbornness and admit if you're wrong? Will you repay the things you stole? Will you set straight and mend the wrongs you've committed? Will you ask forgiveness to God and man? See, sickness sometimes makes things serious. When a tormentor comes, it makes things serious. So let's get serious about God. Serious about God, because God, sometimes he'll permit death or sickness because of disobedience. You got a soul that God is after. I'm running out of time. I'm not used to just having an hour. in the morning. You got a soul that God is after. And that soul gives you the ability to choose this morning. That's what separates you from an animal. That you're not just like a chimpanzee or something. That you're not an animal. You've got something down on the inside that guides your life, that guides your direction, and gives you the ability to choose God. Every man and woman in earth has a soul. The man in a bar has a soul. Every murderer in prison has a soul. The homeless person filling the subway car with us a foul stench, as I've been acquainted with as I rode to Atlanta, and sometimes they got a soul. Sometimes you look at somebody that's in a different situation in life and you think, well, there's something different. No, that person has a soul. And Brother Branham said when he would go into Africa and look at the people eating maggots and look at the way they lived, he said they've got just as much right to hear the gospel as you or I do, because you've got a soul. And an animal doesn't have a soul. They've got something that they can kind of go get water and do some little tricks and things, but they don't have nothing to think with. They don't have nothing to choose with. You remember that gorilla that they taught sign language to? And I remember that was in the news where they taught it sign language, and they asked it one time. It could like say some little things and respond to questions. And they asked it, what about God? And it said, I don't know nothing about God. Because a soul is how you respond to God. That little animal, it didn't know. It didn't have a way to answer back. It just has a way to, you know, you can put glasses on and put a little hat on, take it off, and ride around on a unicycle or something like that. But you've got a soul on the inside that gives you a way to respond. And Brother Bram said those people in Africa eating maggots and whatnot, he said, let them hear it one time and watch him scream and run to the altar real quick, because he's got a soul, a deep call to the deep, something to respond to that call from God. You've got a soul and can choose life. So God is looking for a soul that will respond. He's looking for fertile ground that will accept his word. And once that seed is planted in the heart, it's a grain of wheat from then on. Once you're born again, you're a Christian until you leave this world. Once you've heard that word and received that word, you're a Christian from then on. You say, well, because you got that earnest. You've got the earnest. The down payment has been paid. And the earnest, what is the earnest? The baptism of the Holy Ghost is the proof. The earnest is the proof that the rest will be paid. You've got the proof that God is a healer. The proof that God is a deliverer. The proof that God still saves. The proof that God is not a respecter of purpose. The Holy Ghost is that proof. The Holy Ghost is the life. The Holy Ghost is the witness. The Holy Ghost is the abstract title deed. So how could somebody that's got all that, how could they get sick? How could they get sick? You know, you got a life down on the inside when you get born again. What is something like cancer? Something like cancer is a life of something else. Something down on the inside of that thing, that cancerous life, it begins to form in a backslidden cell. And Brother Brown began to talk about how cancer, it usually comes from a bruise that strikes and the cells break. And what is a bruise now? A bruise is, you got a little cell and it's got a purpose in life. The purpose is to help you do the things, to fight off germs, to fight infection, and every cell in your body has a purpose. and it gets bruised. Maybe it gets injured. Maybe like somebody sitting in church sometimes and somebody says something a little bit wrong and they get bruised and they draw up and they begin to think, well, maybe I just need to sit at home. Maybe I just don't need to come to church anymore. Maybe they begin to think, forget their purpose. And see that when a bruise happens, that's right when that devil can begin to work. And a bruise, the life of Satan begins to enter into that bruised cell and it begins to turn cancerous. It's bruised because of something happened to it. He said a cancer comes from a bruise. A bruised cell usually is where it comes from. All mashed up, the cell is backslidden. If something happens in there that fails to get the function of blood to it right, that fails to get the blood working right, and cancer begins to happen, and that life. So now you've got two things, the life of that cancer and the life of God worn out. And the life of God, you know, can cast out that cancer. He said another life, not your life, a germ comes in there. It's a spirit first that develops around it by a germ, or takes the germ that's already in your body and takes its place. And Satan can't create, so he begins to build cells, growth. He begins to build on that life. That way on the inside is that life. And then cells begin to build around that life. A cataract does the same thing. It gets bigger. And what's it doing? Your little germ is to make you live. That germ is to suck the blood from you to kill you. And you got that cancer. A cancer, a big old mass of confusion growing and growing and going through your body and going like a spider web going everywhere. Because the problem, if we get down to the root cause, the problem is there's a foreign life in there. There's another life in there. Another life. He said it's another life different from your life living in you. And it's tormenting, sapping your life. That's the reason Jesus called it a devil. The devil's got one duty to do, and that's take your life, to cut your days short of 70. But you know, God, doctors, a lot of times they can patch things up and cut things out and everything. But the only one that can kick the life out is the life of God. That's why this morning we still believe in healing. We still believe it in the power of God. No matter what is afflicting you this morning, whether it's cancer or tuberculosis or a lung issue or whatever, or mind battles, that God is still able to heal and deliver. Doctors and medicine can't heal. They can patch things up and let the life of God begin to close the wounds and things. But we've got a God on the scene that we've got access to all these benefits of healing. Like in Psalm chapter 103 that we read, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. And in Exodus chapter 15, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And in Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So what is divine healing? Divine healing is dealing with that life. When you come with faith, that believing that God is able to cast that life out, to get the life of the devil out. That's why in sanctification, the unclean spirit goes out because you're being healed. The unclean spirit is cast out. What is divine healing? It was when that foreign life is extracted. That foreign life is called out. And the way that Jesus did it, he would just say, go. When that devil came, when they were, you know, all the devils in Legion, they were wanting to go into the swine, and he didn't pray a big, long, fervent prayer or anything. He just said one word, go. Why? Because the devils recognize, what do they recognize in life? The devil ain't recognizing all the intellectual understanding and somebody that's trying to fake it, but they'll recognize life. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, and Jesus rebuked him, Legion, saying, he said, hold thy peace. And come out of him. He just spoke the words, come out of him. When the life is cast out, the battle is over. And how is the life cast out? Through the preaching of the word. Through the preaching of the gospel, cast out that life. What is it? Slow and steady wins the race. When the life is cast out, that thing begins to bloat, and you begin to wonder, was something happening? That life is cast out of that cancer on the inside, and it begins to bloat and begins to rot and die, and you begin to think something's wrong. But slow and steady is what wins the race. Because you just believe that God is moving, something's beginning to work, and don't let your faith be faltered when you begin to be healed and you know that thing begins to that carcass on the inside begins to rot. You just stay right with it. Stay right with what God wants you to believe. Brother Branham said, don't you disbelieve. Stay right with it. Mean it from your heart. Say, no, sir, I'll not be moved no matter how sick I get. That doesn't have nothing to do with it. Then the first thing you know, you'll be getting cleared up. Everything will be all right then. see us dead. The operation that the doctor would have taken from you, that same growth is laying in you with no life in it when it's cast out by divine healing. He said the gift of divine healing was in you if you got healed. It's you, the one. Any gift operates by faith. And no matter how much gift of divine healing I got, I believe it with all my heart. But you could stand here, and if you haven't got the same kind of faith, it don't do you no good. What is that? The choice to believe. The choice that you have because you have a soul to believe God's word. He said, I could pray for you for hours and weeks and months. It isn't the preachers with the divine healing. It's you that's got the gift of divine healing that believes in being healed because it's by faith. By faith, every operation of God is by faith. Everything we have is by faith this morning. So when you get it real down in a place of despondency, do like Abraham and let your faith grow. As every day walked by when he didn't have that child every year and people were saying, well, where's the child at? His faith began to grow. Moses, when he got to the Red Sea, his faith began to grow because of all the things that he'd seen. And Daniel's faith got stronger and stronger the longer that they were in Babylon. When you get into a predicament, let your faith grow. The worse it gets, the more of a miracle it's going to be. No matter how bad it looks, yet we still have a promise. Don't forget all the benefits that you have as a believer. Forget not all your benefits. Don't let your soul be troubled. We've got benefits as Christians. And those benefits that are that the devil can have no preeminence in your life. If you'll just take God at his word and give God your heart, turn your heart to God. And if you're at a place where the devil's just running roughshod over your life and tormenting your spirit, figure out what it's going to take if you have to go around to everybody and say, ask for forgiveness, because we've got benefits. That's why Mark chapter 11 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. Why? Because we come with faith believing. We've come with faith. Everything is by faith. Believing that God is able. And Brother Adam said, what's going to happen now if you accept Christ as your healer and believe in your heart that something has happened to you and you believe you're healed? Are you going to believe that you're healed? He said, don't let the devil pin nothing else on you. Just keep on. Doctor say, doctor, how does it look? He said, why? It's still there. And the musicians can go ahead and come. And your heart, you know what's happened. First thing he will say, wonder what happened to that thing. Then say, look, doctor, I'm going to tell you. Here's what happened. Faith took hold. Jesus Christ healed me. That's right. Jesus Christ healed me. That's what he said. You're going to be able to tell the doctor when something began to happen. Don't have any more doubt. He said, we understand where it comes from now. We know it's a devil, and we know when he leaves, he has to come in command of God. He has to. God's done said so. He has to leave. This morning, I believe, as we stand to our feet, I believe that we've got an answer. We've got the benefits. We've got the that's what the Holy Ghost was sent to take away all this torment that the devil. You've got the answer of healing this morning. You've got the answer of salvation. You've got the answer of an overcoming life. This morning, if there's something in your life where you're not settled and something's out of cater in your life, we've got the answer this morning. I wonder this morning if you would just lift up your hands, if this morning you have a need from God, and maybe you need a refilling this morning. Maybe this morning you just need more revelation. We've got an answer for whatever your need is this morning. Maybe this morning you don't know him in the power of his resurrection. Maybe you don't know him like you should. He wants to know you. I wonder this morning if you would be willing to give all of your heart to him. He wants your heart. He wants everything that you have. He wants to be the Lord of your life. If you just lift your hand to him and say, I pledge my life anew to him. I pledge my being. I want to be settled this morning. I'm done with all the torment in my life. I'm done with running. I'm done. I want God. Lord Jesus, you see all the hands raised, Lord God, and Lord, my hand is raised, Lord Jesus, because I don't think there's any one of us, Lord God, that could not use more of you, Lord Jesus. We all want more of you, Lord Jesus, no matter what our place and our station is in life, Lord, we need you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I give my heart to you this morning, Lord, and to you, Lord Jesus. And you see all the hands raised, Lord God, and surely, Lord God, you're still on the scene to respond, Lord God. Lord God, wherever there's a need, Lord, there's an answer. Where there's a deep calling, Lord, there's a deep to respond. And you're the one that's able to respond, Lord Jesus. I ask, Lord God, that you'll meet every need this morning, Lord, whatever it is, Lord Jesus. You know, Lord God, I don't know, Lord, but you know, and you're the need answering God. You're the God that's touched by the feeling of our infirmities. You're the God, our high priest, that can be touched, that knows what we're going through, Lord. Lord, you know, Lord, what we have need of, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray, Lord God, that you'll touch every heart this morning. We pray as we sing and worship, Lord Jesus. Just worship it now. You love the Lord this morning. Let's just worship him in spirit and in truth. I believe we've heard the truth this morning. Now let's just let his spirit just wash over us. Why don't you let him clean you out? Why don't you just give your heart to him this morning? If you've held something back, Lord, now let the time be that you don't hold nothing back. Just give over to him. Don't you just love him this morning? That's what he wants. He wants your heart. He wants your heart to just say, I love you, Lord. All others now are holy. Maybe your life has been, like Brother Branham said, in one place, a lot of scattered testimonies. But from this point forward, you can have a real testimony, steadfast and true. Won't you just receive him now in your heart? Just love on him now.
Lord, hear my humble cry.
You know, Jesus asked his disciples, where will you go? And Peter didn't say he was going somewhere. Or he didn't say he wouldn't go somewhere. But he said, to whom can we go? We're drawing to a person this morning, not to a place. We're drawing to him. Just give yourself over to him this morning. He's the one that we need.
And I'm crying,
Savior.
Blessed
Savior.
Oh, hear my humble cry.
He wants you to respond to him.
Savior, blessed Savior.
Amen. Don't you just love him this morning? Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian with all these benefits that we have? You don't have to leave this building this morning with torment in your soul or in your spirit or in your body. Let's just go in prayer before we go. Lord God, we're so grateful, Lord, for all the many blessings that you've given unto us, Lord Jesus. And we, as we go down to eat lunch, Lord, I pray that you would prepare our hearts for this afternoon, Lord. And just be with the saints up there in Ohio, Lord, ministering to that church, Lord God, that you'll be with Brother Wade, Lord God. And I believe Brother Luis is ministering this afternoon, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'll just be with him and give him an unction, Lord, to speak what's laid on his heart. Lord, bless your people, Lord, as we go. And we ask these blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You feel free to linger if you need something. Or you're at liberty to be dismissed.